So you don't have to be like, I have learned 100%, now I'm gonna start. No. Putting your money in a bank savings account is not investing.
Dawn Sher, known as SG Budget Babe. She's Singapore's most popular finance influencer, teaching people about finance and investing.
When you don't have real money in, even if it goes up or down, you're like, oh, yay! Oh, that's it.
Exactly.
But when it's your real money, you're like, and knowing how you react is actually the secret to great investing. But a lot of people are just like, oh, I just learned this. Let me share with you. And everyone's like, oh, thank you for sharing that. And you don't realize the information is wrong. And I think that's a really big issue in today's social media generation. It's something that I take very seriously as a content creator because... But if you simply just want to beat inflation and be able to retire without having to worry about money, you do.
Maybe you can share with us, what are the most important personal finance principles that we should be aware?
Well, the first is to pay yourself first. Most people save what they have left at the end of the month. I do it in reverse. I think you need to be deliberate about paying yourself for your future self, right? And putting that out of your salary first, right from the start, as soon as your paycheck comes in, so that you won't like exceed your budget. So that's a timeless principle. The second one is then, of course, never spend more than what you can afford to. Don't spend more than what you earn. It's very tempting and easy now today because we can put things on credit, and the rise of buy now, pay later schemes has also led to some consumers not realizing how expensive the item really is because it gets divided into like 3 or 6 payments, right? So it feels like it's cheaper when it's not really. So never spend more than what you earn or can afford to. And the third one is like, don't spend just to impress others. I think that's a very big difference if you're buying, let's say, that branded bag or a car in Singapore. I know cars in other countries have a whole different meaning, but in Singapore, right, you get that kind of different perspective. But in short, never spend for anyone except yourself. So go and buy that branded bag if it makes you happy and you have, and you think that can really add value to your life. The same branded bag can be used to monetize for some people, especially if you're in sales. But if you're a really good salesperson, do you really need a branded bag to show off and clinch those deals? You can do it by your own confidence and your skills as well, right? So lots of people fall into that trap of keeping up with that Joneses. They make a lot of comparisons, and I think that's just really unhealthy, not just on your pocket, but also for your mental well-being. So these three principles are super important. And the last one would be really invest early and often. Yeah, start early, because people tend to put that off until much later. They're like, oh, I only have like $50 or $100 a month to right now. I don't think that's worth much. I'll wait until I earn more money and then I'll start investing. But there is virtue to investing early when you're younger because of this thing called compounding, right? It just grows and grows. And the other thing that people don't realize is when you start early, you're going to have to learn those mistakes anyway, because investing has one element is the technical skill set, how to analyze, how to spot, how to do it right. The other one is related to you. How do you manage your emotions? How do you react? And what is suitable for you versus someone else? So you need to go through those lessons. And if you do it when you're at a younger age, the cost of those lessons, the cost of your mistakes are actually a lot less. For example, one common mistake that almost everyone will make in their life is investing in something because their broker, their friend or Wall Street, Reddit, someone online, a financial guru on TikTok or YouTube or Instagram, whatever medium they use, a guru or an influencer tells them to, right? And then later on, when they lose money, they'll say, I shouldn't have listened to that person. You're going to have to learn that. Maybe that person is not someone you don't know. Maybe it could even be like your trusted family member.
Yeah.
But for you to learn that lesson when you are in your early 20s with only a few hundred or 4 digits to invest, versus when you're in your 40s or 50s, when the amount you're investing with is in your 5 to 6 digits, which one would you rather pay?
Mm.
Yeah, so I think it's important. People tend to defer it to later. No, the earlier you start, the better. Even if you're such a bad investor that you don't make any money at all because of your investment choices in your entire 20s,
yeah,
or even your 20s and 30s. But by the time you enter your 40s and 50s, you'll be more mature and knowledgeable as an investor. And then you can prevent yourself from making those costly mistakes that would otherwise be a 6 or 7 digit hit to your portfolio. I think people don't realize that.
Yeah, it's a huge one. And then so what you say is that start early, start learning. So that it is also a journey, right? It's a journey to learn. That is very interesting. What other mistakes people make when it comes to personal finance?
Not following those principles, or following something they read online and just taking it as the gospel truth without realizing the trade-offs.
Oh.
It might not be applicable for their situation. But yeah, if you don't know that, and a lot of times online can make it seem, because the advice can come from anyone and they don't have any idea about your exact situation or circumstances, it could look like that's the right move to make. And it could be. For that person, doesn't mean that it's great for you.
Yeah.
And even if a move or a strategy works for 80% of the population, doesn't mean that it works for you, because maybe you're in the 20% that just won't really work for.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people don't really know how to differentiate this. That's what I'm observing.
If you have been getting value from our videos, don't forget to subscribe so we can give you even better content and you stay updated with new episodes. So hit that subscribe button and I will bring you even better show. Let's go back to the conversation now. Yeah, but that's, you know, today, I mean, with the social media, you know, so many influencers, there's so much information available. How do we take better decisions with so much information available?
Yeah, for me, I am conscious of who I follow and look to for information. My information sources matter a lot to me, right?
Okay.
Because I work in investigations. Mm. I have been trained as a journalist. I have been, you know, and I'm very skeptical. I operate based on these things. Is that source legitimate? Is it a primary source? Is it a trustworthy secondary source? That kind of stuff. So I actually look at the track record.
Yes.
I look at the kind of character, if it's a person, what kind of character are they? Do they have any biases that I should be a bit more familiar with?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I look for people who are, of course, relatable. Yeah, I would consider all. So I have unfollowed people over the years because I realized they were putting out misinformation, sometimes deliberately, sometimes not, because you don't know what you don't
exactly
know.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I want to be deliberate about who I get my information from.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I put a lot of that stress on myself as well as a creator.
Mm.
I want to make sure that my content and the stuff I put out there is accurate, it really serves and adds value to my audience, and I'm not misleading people. And if I get called out for it, if I get caught for it, I am very happy to go and edit. And I have. I'm not perfect. I have made mistakes before. The moment someone corrects me or it comes to my attention that that's wrong, I go out there, I apologize, I correct it, and I rectify it.
Mm.
But I realize lots of people just delete the mistake, hide it, pretend it that never happened.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that. I believe in owning up.
Yeah.
I believe in taking responsibility.
Yeah, I really, really like that. So maybe you can share, what's your investment strategy?
So it's no secret. I am a value growth investor. I look for companies, stocks that are undervalued mm-hmm. by the market for several reasons. And I also want them to be able to grow.
Mm.
So that's what I would look for.
Yeah. And when it comes to now the cryptocurrencies, what's your strategy?
So crypto is interesting. It's undervalued when I first started, right? I started in 2016-2017. Back then, everyone was calling crypto a scam, a Ponzi. You get all sorts of names, right? And people didn't believe in the utility and the purpose that crypto could serve. I could see that Bitcoin, and I wrote this, I said Bitcoin is digital gold.
Mm.
Just like how we have gold in the real world today,
mm-hmm.
Bitcoin is the digital version of that goal. So I saw a very strong and compelling case for Bitcoin. I looked into all the accusations of fraud, Ponzi, scams, and I realized a lot of it was based off ignorance. People just looking at one part of the picture and not recognizing and understanding how things really work. So I could identify that, and I bought crypto from as early as 2017. So that was an undervalued and hyper growth investment for me. We all know now. I remember back then Bitcoin was probably like 10 or 12,000.
Okay.
Look at where it is now.
Yeah.
And I already believed back then that we would likely see $100,000 Bitcoin in our lifetime. I just wasn't sure when it would happen, right? Would it take the next 5 years, the next year, the next 10, maybe my children's time? But I that was my thesis, my belief. Well, Bitcoin's now at 70,000. People are now saying, the same people and traditional financial institutions that used to hate on it are now buying it. They're saying that it's going to hit $250,000. Well, the sentiment has changed so much. Right, so that's my view towards crypto. It was an easier call back then. It's harder now because a lot of the mains like Bitcoin and Ethereum, they've gotten so much traction already, right? And I remember also I recognized the same in Solana before it gained mainstream attention. Yeah, same thing. So all of that is now coming to public awareness. So the value and the undervalued part of that is not as much as it used to be. But you still find value everywhere. And sentiment changes, the market sentiment changes and fluctuates all the time. That's when we'll be able to find something at different point in times.
Yeah, and if you look at the future, where do you think these cryptocurrencies are going? How do you see?
I see a future where more stable, less fluctuating or less volatile cryptocurrencies are accepted as a form of payment. As to which coins that will be, I honestly don't know, because there's so many different types of crypto and coins out there now. Everyone wants to be that coin, that payment gateway, but we don't know which is going to really be able to make it and all dominate, right? So, but I do believe that you're going to see crypto being discovered for various use cases, whether it's for building new dApps, it's for hedging like gold, or it's for utility in everyday transactions, or in the simplest form, money transfers easily across borders without fees and bypassing KYC checks. That may change though. Governments are stepping in to really apply the KYC measures. So I don't know how that will look like in the future, but I do see greater utility for cryptocurrencies in the future that we live in.
Tell
I think the better way to think about it is, am I wealthy? Am I financially secure? So my bigger goal for myself is really just to be financially free and secure without having to worry about money, because I grew up in a family that worried about not having enough. And we really didn't have enough at different points in time. Those were hard times. I don't want to have to go through that again. So we want to be financially in a position where that would never happen. Well, does it mean retire? I love the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early. But I don't think I'm going to retire early. I'll probably just spend the years, you know, once I'm financially free, once I hit what I want to hit, I'll probably just spend those time doing more of what I love. Probably is going to be more writing.
I like that concept. And for beginners, let's say beginners who want to start investing, what's your advice?
Learn first. So whether you're a self-directed learner or you need a mentor, a coach, online lessons, courses, or you learn from books, whatever it is, learn and then discover yourself and then apply. This should be the three-stage process that everyone should go through. The problem is most people skip that or get that or mess up. They do first without contextualizing to their life circumstances or without learning. And then they learn. I mean, you will keep learning as you go along. Investing is a lifelong pursuit. Warren Buffett is still learning even at his age now. And as companies and business models change, there's so much to learn and keep up with. But The simple framework is learn, know yourself, and apply.
Yeah, and I really like coming back to what you said before about and start learning early and start investing yes. early because yes. it's a journey, right?
Yes, correct. And I really love because the know yourself part is a really hard piece yeah. to crack.
Yeah.
And we change with time, right? Our risk tolerance, you could be someone with a high risk appetite.
Yeah.
Because you're just one person, you're not married, you have no kids, no dependents, you can do whatever you yeah. want. You lose all your money, you can restart, you can rebuild.
Yeah, exactly.
But once kids come into the picture, that risk appetite is going to change.
Yeah.
So they have to adapt. So in this three-stage process, it doesn't mean you have to complete stage one before moving on to the next stage, but at least follow that framework and start early. So you don't have to be like, I have learned 100%, now I'm going to start. No. Learn at least what you need to, a basic fundamentals, and then go into stage two, understand yourself, try to contextualize, apply, and then actually execute. You learn or you discover mistakes, go back to learning again, discover yourself, repeat, and then make more mistakes, go back and repeat and repeat. It's going to be a cycle. It's not a three-stage process, right? I should say it's a cycle all the time. It keeps going.
Yeah. So maybe can you go a little bit more in detail into each of the three steps?
Okay. So let's talk about learn first, right? So the cycle is learn, discover or know yourself, and then apply. Yeah. So in the learn component, you would need to do basic things like understand how to read the financial statement, how to look at an annual report, a company's SEC filings. You need to be able to understand how the business makes its money and what it needs to do the business that it does. So those are important in the learn part. And then you need to know how to value it accordingly. You need to know how to see into the future because you're not looking at the back view mirror, right? You're looking forward. That's where stock prices and cryptocurrency values or whatever it is, like a painting, an art painting, could be worth. It's looking into the future. So you need to be able to do that skill set first. Yeah. Once you're done with the learn, and part of it can be learning from influencers online. People should totally follow my socials. I talk and teach a lot about this kind of stuff. I do lots of free workshops and free books and free content on my blog. I have over 600 articles on my blog on personal finance. If someone were to toggle the invest tab, you're going to find so much content in there that will help them with the learn and know yourself component, right? So find people you can learn and relate to and, you know, consume those content, learn, keep improving, challenging your mind. That's the first part. The next one is know yourself. You got to reflect. You got to understand what is my risk appetite. How much capital do I have? If you have, let's say, a really small capital and you're young, there is very little reason for you to be doing dividends and you investing at such a young age. Because even if you could be the best dividend investor in the world, you can get 20% you, which is unheard of, by the way. But let's say you are you manage to get a 20% you. Okay, happens, but very rare. But yeah, let's go with it. A 20% on a $1,000 portfolio is nothing, right? You have to go for other stuff first. Why don't you have a bigger base and then you go for the you? So know yourself is really important. And then apply. So then execute the moves, right? Some people, for instance, after they got caught up in the whole GameStop saga, they realized, oh, I really shouldn't be learning only from Reddit Wall Street Bets. Right? I was taking, and then they realized the know yourself, oh, I was taking way too much risk, or I was overexposed. I did not know the concept of diversification. I got to go and reset that again. And then they execute something else. And then something else will happen. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. You go back and repeat the cycle.
I see. Yeah, I really, really like. Sometimes the process of investing can be daunting and people can have insecurities or fear. What is the smallest thing that we can do in order to just start the journey today?
You said it, just start. Take $50, $100, $500, put it into the markets and see how it grows, see how you react to it. So I can give two suggestions, right? Not options. One would be you could put it into a broad-based index. such as a Vanguard exchange traded fund, really low expense fees that covers the world markets, and just put that in. Either you do it one time or every month, you do it for one whole year, watch how that goes. You learn a lot in the process. That's what you can also do this through a regular savings plan if your country or brokerage or bank offers that option. Another way would be to take the money and then buy a few of the stocks that you know of or are exposed to. So say, for instance, you use Apple MacBooks and an iPhone. You carry a branded bag. You drive a Tesla. You could already buy LVMH, you could buy Apple, you could buy Tesla, create a portfolio, or you shop at Costco, you buy the occasional stuff from Target or Walmart, you go traveling and you stay at Airbnb, you spend a lot of time on Reddit. You know, these are stocks, right? And you can put some money in, even if it's a small fee, through fractional shares, to buy a small amount of each company, and then watch how that goes and develops. Because you are going to react to it. Tomorrow, if Tesla share price crashes, look at how you react. Of course, you know, when you just have $100 parked there versus $100,000, the way you react is going to be very different. But for a start, put in something small, and that's the learn do plus know yourself as things change. I think people can start with that. I started that way as well. When my first investments was into stocks of companies that I was familiar with. So whether you want to go individual stocks or crypto or index funds, just do one of that and then learn across the way. Some people later on then go into trading, they go into options, they go into leverage. There's so many different instruments that you can use, but start with the basic and simplest, and then see how you want to grow it from there.
So put some skin on the game.
Yes, put some skin into the game.
And then learn on the journey and start playing and adjust, right?
Yes, people talk about creating a paper portfolio, but I disagree with that. Not because it doesn't work, but because you will not learn the emotional part of it. When you don't have real money in, if it goes up or down, you're like, oh, yay, oh. And that's it.
Exactly.
But when it's your real money, you're like, yeah. And knowing how you react is actually the secret to great investing. I didn't say that. Warren Buffett did.
What is the best book that you've read about personal finance?
If I were to give advice to someone who's starting from scratch, I think Morgan Housel is probably the best personal finance writer of our time. And someone should start from there. Like, his books are fantastic. They're such an easy read. They contextualize personal finance in non-technical terms to make it super easy and understandable by anyone. And he makes it fun. He makes it inspiring. You're not going to get that from The Intelligent Investor. It's dry and it's boring, but it's important. It's technical. Those two different resources.
Well, we're coming to the end. Maybe you can tell me, is there any question that you would like me to ask you?
Actually, we talked about something yesterday that I thought was really great, right? Which is the fact that more influencers are starting to dive into personal finance now. It could be an age thing as they get more mature and realize they really should wake up and start doing this. And then you have that beauty influencer, the food blogger, the lifestyle, the actress, the model, people from all sorts of niche right now coming in and doing personal finance as well. I think that's great for them. But what I've observed, at least from the ones that I know of, is that the information is not always accurate. And sometimes a lot of the information is misguided. So I'll use a few examples that I remember. There was this beauty influencer with a large following. And she was saying, like, you can invest in this bank account that pays you this percentage of money. If you understand investing, putting your money in a bank savings account is not investing. That is saving. Mm-hmm. Of course, you should be saving money in a bank account that pays you higher interest than another bank account. But that is not investing, right? Like, and don't use that term because it's wrong. Yeah. Don't mislead people, because then when they think that, oh, I need to invest to secure my financial future, now they get that warped idea that, oh, as long as they put it in this high yield bank savings account, they've done their part, they've ticked off invested off their list and they're good. That's not true. But they don't know what they're talking about either. Mm-hmm. And people don't know that it's wrong. Mm. And I think that's a really big issue in today's social media generation. It's something that I take very seriously as a content creator, because I grew up in the Spider-Man era where we have that big tagline quote, with great responsibility comes, no, with great powers come great responsibility. Yeah. So I put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure the content I put out is accurate and it's not misleading or misguiding anyone. I will fact check, I really deep dive. But a lot of people are just like, oh, I just learned this, let me share with you. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh, thank you for sharing that. And you don't realize the information is wrong. Yeah. And it's also because this space, it's very hard to regulate.
Yes.
Right? The regulators can't do much. They can put in one rule, but then the next day, like something changes and it's harder. It's harder for regulators and legislations to keep up versus the speed of change. So how are we going to overcome that? There really is no answer. Another example that was brought to my attention was during the COVID craze. Look at how many people were shilling, that's the term, shilling GameStop and other meme stocks. And we don't know their intentions. Maybe they honestly, genuinely believed that they would get rich from GameStop because they were one up over Wall Street. Maybe they honestly believe that this stock would be the next one that would help them and their friends become millionaires. I don't know. Or maybe it was just because they had already bought it and were sharing and being so vocal about it because they need other people to come in and be their exit liquidity. Mm. I was seeing so many of these posts. I was seeing people with 500,000 following, 700K, 800K, talking about this crypto that they had bought or this stock that they had bought and talking about how good it was, like, and showing off their yield, their income, how much money and profits they made. And then at the bottom put one tiny star asterisk, this is not financial advice. It doesn't matter. Their people saw it. Their followers saw it. Some took action, some didn't. But no one's being held responsible. Yeah. Right? And we see these cases repeat themselves over and over and over again. In my time, when I first started crypto investing in the early 2010s, there was this very prominent YouTuber called Crypto Nick. I look at what he said, I wrote on my blog. I didn't think it was right. I felt like he obviously had a vested interest, and I wrote about, I dissected all of that on my blog. It didn't gain traction, that's fine. At least the people who I knew in my circle who needed to see it did not invest there, right? And it collapsed. The scheme collapsed. And now people are trying to go after him. But I think he's nowhere to be found. I don't know. I didn't follow what happened, right? And the same thing happens repeatedly over and over again. And how are we going to, you know, learn to do better? So anyone can now come up and start sharing about personal finance. And I think it's great because we all learn collectively as a whole. We don't know everything. But it's important to then correct it. It's important for information to be corrected. It's important to not lead other people astray. And I thought, I could not see a solution out of this, honestly. So what I told my community, my followers to do, I taught them this line. Are you their exit liquidity? So I encourage them, every time you see someone shilling an investment, and then they say, I've already invested in it, okay, I think this is great, blah, blah, blah. Ask yourself this question. Are they making you their exit liquidity? Maybe they are. That's why this post has to be so loud and vocal. But if they're not, then you can, or if you think they're not, you can take what they say with a little bit more trust and continue to do your own due diligence.
Mm.
I think that's super important. But there's no solution, right? Like, what would you think is the solution?
Yeah, but I think today the creators economy is just exploding, you know, so there's much more influencers, there's more information. And I think we are in a, everyone is trying to figure out, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's one side, there's the responsibility from the creators to be more careful about the kind of information they put out there, either it's finance or either is travel or personal development.
Yeah.
So I think there's
or health or everything, right?
Yeah. So I think there's on one side, and I think on the other side, I think there's needs to be more people need to do more research and more due diligence about what they see, because there's a lot of information, there's a lot of noise, and it's about also our responsibility to understand how to navigate and to so that we can get better information and take better decisions.
Exactly. And with finance, the reality is what's at stake is your own money.
Exactly.
No one cares more about your money than you. So people need to be more cognizant of all these things. But let's be real, the human race, humans in general, we want to be lazy and take shortcuts when we can.
Yeah.
I am guilty of that too, right? Mm-hmm. But we can't really afford this when it comes to things like our money.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, such a great conversation. So good. So how much should you do if you are not a full-time investor?
So people need to be able to figure out how to optimize their investments to fit what they need at that stage.
Mm.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get mixed up and they think to really be a good investor, I need to do all this work. I need to track the markets every day. I need to keep monitoring. But how deep you go is also what outcome you want out of it. If you want like a 100% return, a 300% growth, or a 38% CAGR, then yes, you need to go deeper than everyone else. But if you simply just want to beat inflation and be able to retire without having to worry about money, okay, to get market returns, you do this much. You want to beat the market, but you don't have to outperform everyone else, you do this much. You want to go into really like solid return, you do more, right? And you need people need to be able to figure out which is best for them.
Mm.
And they need to know the trade-offs, because you don't always see those trade-offs. And when you are being promoted products or services or investments online, it's very attractive for the promoter to not tell you about the negatives.
Yeah.
And if that's a sponsored post, the marketer probably doesn't want you to talk about the negatives. This is actually something that I always have to, I would say fight back, but that's not a good word. This is something that I have to push back with my advertisers very often. Every time a company, a financial institution comes to me for a sponsored post, I really have that conversation and I tell them I need it to be very objective. I'm not your marketing promoter, okay? There is no 100% perfect solution in this world. There's always pros and cons. And I cover, what I do is cover pros and cons, because I want people to make an informed decision, knowing what are their trade-offs, so they also then cannot blame anyone because they made the decision, they went into it with open eyes. The problem though is a lot of the advertisements you get only show you the pretty side. Yeah. They don't show you the negative side. And I think that is flawed.
Yeah.
It's a model that has to change, but it's very hard. This has been a problem since the beginning of time. Right, when newspapers would not run certain ads that would hurt, or certain news, they would not report on news that would hurt their biggest advertisers because money is at stake there.
Yeah.
And that has just spilled over to social media, to every individual creator, and it's hard.
We're coming to the end. And if there's one message that you would love people to remember from this conversation, what it would be?
It would definitely be the cycle of learn, know yourself, apply, and repeat that cycle for the rest of your life. You could also say that for every other topic and niche. It's something that I strongly believe in.
Yeah, so good. Thank you so much for coming. Thank
You're
you for
welcome.
Adding so much value. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. you.